Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Have a healthy fantasy life, have a healthy sex life. They're intertwined. And so I think if you can, when I say to you, talk to your partner about your fantasies and you don't know, maybe together you figure out what the fantasy is.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. On today's throwback show, I'm discussing the ins and outs of a fantasy that's become a lot more popular lately, cuckolding, or hot wifery as it's called. I share tips to bring up your fantasy with your partner, why people enjoy it, and how you can navigate FFM and MMF threesomes, which is female, female, male, or male, male, female, how to navigate them, and what to consider before you dive into your next sexual fantasy. There's a lot to consider here. I also take your calls and answer questions like how to get over the jitters when you want to go to a strip club with your husband for the first time, and what to do when your partner has extreme separation anxiety when you leave town, and it doesn't go well when you get back, and why writing your own erotica can be incredibly hot and help with initiating sex. We're covering a lot today. Oh, and you also hear my former producer, Jamie, chime in every once in a while and join the conversation, which is a fun one. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. You know, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? What do you want to land with you so you could take it with you? Well, mine is to show you the sexy world of these common fantasies and get you ready for your next sexual adventures. I also have a new article. It's called 3 Ways to Have an MMF Threesome. So check that out at sexwithemily.com. If you want to ask me a question on the show, call my brand new hotline. It's 559 Talk Sex, or 559-825-5739. Just leave me your questions or just message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. Just include your name, gender identity, location, age, and how you listen to the show. And I'm so cool if you change your name, you know. All right, everybody, enjoy this episode. I'm going to break down some fantasies for you, just one tonight. In this continuing education that we do here on the show, it's fun to kind of highlight a fantasy every now and then. So this one is called cuckolding, and it's been around for a very long time. Cuckolding is essentially when a penis owner gets off on seeing their partner have sex with another penis owner, usually one that's larger and mostly has to do with the humiliation aspect of the other person being able to give more pleasure. So an example might be like you love seeing your wife having a lot of pleasure, so much so that you want to see someone else give it to her. Someone that maybe can do it more than you can. Like maybe he's even a greater lover. And there's something about being the observer and not the person involved that just turned you on. There's a certain taboo aspect to it. And maybe your wife's giving you the go-ahead and you found someone who agreed to do this. And while the new person is having sex with their wife, you're staring at her. She's staring at you. She's vocalizing how amazing this person is making her feel. So there's some reasons why this is popular. There's something under the umbrella of cuckolding for about like fantasies and voyeurism and group sex that cuckolding like with your partner mm-hmm. can kind of include all of those things. It's taboo. It is taboo, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of our fantasies have to do with doing something that we're not supposed to do, right? So for heterosexual couples, that can kind of break the whole non-monogamy thing because monogamy is our standard here and we all think that we should just be monogamous. Mm-hmm. But to kind of think, well, it's not really cheating or it still is monogamy if I'm in the room and I'm watching. Usually it just means that there is some humiliation, degradation, denial aspect to it, whether it's in our minds or said aloud by our partner. 58% of men, it said, have this fantasy and mm-hmm. like 20-something percent of women. So it's common. I thought this is, and we've had a lot of calls about this on the show, and people even have this fantasy and they feel some guilt about it or shame or that it's really wrong. But the truth is, like, couples who have actually practiced this have had a healthy sex life and mm-hmm. have reported that it actually went down well. It was executed well. And there was positive side effects to it. But so first, you guys talk about it beforehand. More people than you think have this fantasy. But for some, it's a fetish, which means that like you have, it's required each time you have sex. So you got to discuss it. You got to be like, it's just a thing I want to try out, or let them know what part of it, like what you think it means to you and how it would go down, setting boundaries and understand why you're asking for it, why you want it. The best you can, because the more you understand it and the more you don't filter yourself, if you actually have gotten up the courage, which I hope you do, to talk to your partner about any fantasy, that's not the time to be like, I want to try cuckolding. And then like she goes, well, what do you picture? What's the person look like? And you've thought about the man's penis mm-hmm. and what it looks like. But at that point, you decide to shut down. And then you're left her scrambling for the detail. It's like, if you're going to talk it through in great detail, in depth, what does it look like to you? Because I think this is why a lot of sex conversations we have with our partners doesn't go anywhere. Because we say it, we really need to have more sex. Okay, well, what should we do? Well, let's just put it on our calendar. And then you don't do anything else. Like, there has to be a lot more discussion, a lot more work involved. And don't do it. Listen, you don't want to do it because, like, let's spice this up. Let's invite over some dude to have sex with us. No. And make sure that you're always using protection, you guys. Mm-hmm. You got to have protection and you got to have an exit strategy. You want to have condoms on hand. Make sure the person's joining you has been tested. Have a safe word. All the rules I have for bringing in another person or a few people into your relationship. And like, know what it's going to look like after. Like, is the person leaving? You have to do some kind of aftercare with your partner to feel more intimate again with each other.
I think that's something that people don't think about enough. Because like, I've always thought about, so when it's done.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
You're like, your Uber will be here in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Like, how do you, is there a way?
No, I mean, you have to decide. Yeah.
Because I guess I've always wondered, like, when we, especially in these kinds of situations, so this is like a couple looking for a third. So obviously the couple are very invested in themselves and the third is like the person that's coming in to aid in some way. But I always think about like, how does the third person feel?
Right. Well, I think that if you do it in a healthy way, no matter if it's a threesome or cuckolding or swapping, whatever, you have to like talk all of this through and you want to know the person enough, because here's the thing, James, it's different every time you bring someone in. Like, let's say there was a third and you all had drinks together before you went to dinner or something. You met up before and you're like, I actually like this person. Maybe it'd be hot to like take a hot tub after and just have a few drinks and then, you know, tell them we don't want sleepovers, but still hang out. Mm. Or maybe it's someone that you just met online and you talk on the phone. You're like, we're just going to have you there. And then we're just going to finish up. And of course, then we're going to continue our evening and you're going to leave. You're going to leave. Like, let them know. So I think you got to break it down.
You talk about it with your partner, but then you also like...
talk about it with the third person.
Yeah, like really
let them know the
out.
Plan. I think we're not good at that stuff. I think we just are like, well, we got the person here and now we don't know. So I love that you asked that question because that can be awkward. If you thought the person was going to stay for a while for dinner and your husband's like, no, get him out of the house.
If I was going to engage in something like this, and I don't know, who knows, but I feel like I would always be that third person. Like I wouldn't be the couple looking for.
Yeah.
So I would want to know like, what do I just like Irish exit, like grab my clothes and leave? Or
well,
like,
this one time, I think it depends. This one time I hooked up with a couple. I did go home with a couple from the Playboy Mansion.
Amazing story, by the way. What
so
the hell?
Anyway, it was fun. And I didn't know them, but I went home with them and it ended up being amazing. And I slept in their bed in between them. And then I woke up in the morning.
You slept in between them?
Yeah, it was cute. I did.
Oh, well, did they?
Because I'm so cuddly.
So were they both big spooning you? Or was it like a chain of spoons, like big spoon, medium
around.
Spoon, little spoon?
I think it was everything.
Yeah. All the spoons.
All the spoons. Well, think of all the options. Usually there's just two spoons. When you add a third spoon, the possibilities are endless. So.
Oh, that kind of sounds
sweet.
Fun.
Yeah.
So what if you just had a threesome for cuddling?
Literally, that's all I want right now. My tummy hurts. I just want to invite over all my ex-boyfriends that were good cuddlers this weekend. And like, there will be no penis. Just cuddle me. Cuddle me. Cuddle me. But then they'd want a blowjob. Okay, so the other thing I want to say about cuckolding before we get back to this is that do not try this at home. Here's this announcement. If you are someone who has a lot of anxiety in your relationship around abandonment issues, you're worried, you know, you don't have great communication, acting on a consensual, non-monogamous fantasy might not be your jam. It could be a negative experience. When I say you talk about it beforehand, your partner might be like, no. There's different kinds of no's, though. There's the like, hey, I want to watch you have sex with another man. And she's like, ew, no. What do you mean? That's crazy. That's probably going to happen unless you sit down, you explain it. You talk about why it's hot to you, why it turned you out. Like, you need to do some work on your own before you bring it up. But then once they think about it, you walk it through, and then there could still be a, I don't think I could handle it. I think I'd be too jealous, or I think it would be. So these are all the kind of conversations you have to have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I mean, I figure maybe that's really what it is. People are like, so we never talked about sex, and then I brought up our sex life, and I was like, I want you to fuck another man.
Boom.
I would be like, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom. Exactly. This is the problem. This is not like, hey, we've never talked about our sex life in 22 years. Would you mind having sex with the gardener? He's hot.
Oh, my God.
Although I would. My gardener is hot. I swear to God. He can't be like, you know what would really help? He has to say, this is what I was going to say to Tim is that, and everyone who's been in a relationship where you've never talked about it, I got to put this out there. Love our sex life. Love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. Our sex life's awesome. I've been listening to this show. What she's taught me is that like, sex doesn't get great. Sex isn't actually even going to work unless we prioritize it and we talk about it. And I've never been in a relationship, babe, that I've talked about it. Have you? No, you neither? Okay, cool. We're in the same place. And I don't even know what that really looks like because I love you and sex is great, but we got to get on the same page with it. We got to prioritize it. And I want to find out, like, what turns you on? Like, do you have any fantasies you want to share with me? Do you ever think about being with another woman? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about having sex outdoors? Like, let me know. And she's like, well, yeah. And then you just start having it. And you're like, I want to prioritize it. So that's it. And then you could even do a thing where you say, let's make a bucket list. Let's each write down three things that we want to try in the bedroom and swap that list. That's a great place to start. And then you keep talking about it, keep talking. And then you're like, you know what? One that I didn't have on the list, now that we're getting all frisky and we're getting more sexual and we're opening up and we're prioritizing our pleasure and we realize that sex has unlimited potential and that not only can our friendship get better in this 25-year relationship, but it's actually possible for our sex life to get better in 25, 30, 40, 50 years if we just talk about it and prioritize it. What I want is to cuckold. That's when you bring it up. You build it. You don't just drop it. But it doesn't take long, you guys. It's okay if it's been 20 years or 10 years or even 6. You've never talked about it. You can start tonight. When you're driving home, you can have that exact conversation. And say, gee, I don't know. It's some way, but it works, I guess. Even if you want to do it preventively, because you know it's great now, but like you see what happens to people who don't talk about it, bring it up.
So you wouldn't put it on the initial sexual bucket list. You're like, start basic.
Do not put it on the initial bucket list is what I'm going to. For most people, if they've, because most people don't know cuckolding.
They don't. They would be like, what?
All right. I'm going to take a quick break. But when I come back, I'm talking to Sheila, who says her husband just turns into a jerk every time she goes out of town, doesn't know what to do. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, let's talk to Sheila. She's 41 in Colorado and her husband's being a jerk. She doesn't know what to do about it.
I hate that. Hey, Sheila. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good. So good.
Okay.
Tell me everything.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
I went on vacation for 9 days with my son, and we had a great time. Everything was awesome. Came home and, you know, did my unpacking, getting ready for school to go, rolling again, and, you know, just everything. Right. So Sunday, got home. After the whole day was over, I got all my stuff done, you know, got in the shower, got myself all nice and shaved. I was like ready to roll with my hubs, and we had the most amazing night. And then today he's like being a total dickwad and I'm so over it. Like he's being a jerk.
All right.
He's being a jerk and just like going on with, I'm like, dude, we had a blast Sunday night.
Wait, okay, Sheila, wait, hold on. So you were gone for 9 days with your son without your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you came back, and the first time you saw him, which was last night or the other night, right? Sunday night, you said? You had amazing sex, and oh my God, it was great, great, great. Because you guys, it's like, that's like the chemistry, that's like the bonding thing, like you had to do that. It was like eating, like you had to have great sex, because you've been separate. But it sounds like there's the now, he's like, okay, we got that out of the way, something happened. Is he being a jerk in a way that he's not been a jerk before?
No, he kind of does this almost every time we go on vacation, but I'm at this point right now because I went with my best friend on vacation with her kids, my kids, and we had a blast, and it was all awesome, and he's planning a vacation on his own. We do stuff together, too, don't get me wrong, but, like, this was just happened to be, it worked out, and I kind of feel weird and used, and I feel like something's going on. We live in tiny, tiny towns, so I know he's not, like, messing around on me. I know that's not the thing.
Has this happened?
I would find out about that.
Right, exactly. Wait, has this happened? Has this happened every time you go away?
Pretty much. It's either while I'm away, he turns into a total weirdo when I come home, or before.
What's his love languages?
Yeah,
do you know his love languages? Is his love language quality time?
No, his love language is, honestly, he's just a selfish little man.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just wondering.
I love him so much.
I know
he's
you
so
do.
Selfish, and he is. It's just all.
How
over,
long have you guys been together?
We've been together for 17 years.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like there's some needs that might need to be filled when you're gone, and he needs some extra attention right now because you were gone for 9 days, and he might know how to tell you that he needs that from you, and he might get bummed out when you leave. Yeah. And maybe his quality, maybe he, listen, when he craves time with you, even though you've been together for so many years, 17 years, like he, right, that's a big change. Like to be gone for 9 days, the house is full with you and your son, and then you're gone. So he's having a reaction to that, yeah. And he needs something that, like most of us, we don't articulate the things, what's going on, what he needs. He might not even know what he needs, and maybe he just needs some extra time with you, like just the two of you, something special that's just, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like what I love here is that there's a pattern. You didn't call me before the trip, right. And say he was being a jerk.
I needed to hear this.
Yeah.
I'm going to the grocery store right now because I was like, I'm going to the store. I'm like, done with
you. Oh, it just happened. Okay, perfect. Listen, you got to go back.
I want to fight with him about it.
Okay, well, he doesn't even know either. He's probably cranky. You were gone. You missed whatever. We don't know what it is, but go back. I'm glad you're leaving because you can go back and breathe. You can breathe in the car on the way home, like deep breaths, like four in, four out, inhale, exhale, like then that resets. And then it's going to be like, you know what? I don't want to fight this. Like, I'm so happy to be back. Like, let's just tell me what you need right now. And if he says, I don't know, just don't tell me. Like, try to have a different kind of conversation where you're listening and just kind of, you know him well enough if you let him talk and let him figure out what it is that he needs. Yeah, you got to listen.
You're right.
You got to listen. I know we don't do that, and I don't listen enough either. I get it. We got to listen. I mean, I listen to you. It's my job. But otherwise,
right.
I don't listen to anyone. So I just listen to you all. You're lucky. So, yeah, you get it. Sheila, I feel you. It's a pattern. I see it. Listen. And then they literally call me back because I think that's what it is. And then he'll figure it out. And then you'll be fine. And you'll actually have a breakthrough, I think, too. Because it's going to be a different. It's not going to be one thing.
Any intimacy tonight?
What'd you say? Intimacy?
I said, should I try to.
I think don't lead with that because then you'll never have the conversation that you need to have with him.
Don't lead with it. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Just, he's your husband. If you want to have sex with him after 17 years, two nights in a row, yes. Have sex with him tonight. Have sex with him tomorrow night. I'm not going to never tell you not to have sex unless you're in pain. Okay?
Well,
all right.
I love you, girl.
I love you too, Sheila.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking it out with me.
Yeah, girl, that's what I'm here for. Seriously, that makes so much sense. Yeah. Bye, Sheila. Thanks for calling. Let us know what happens.
Okay, let's talk to Kenny. He's 34 in Arizona, and he called in about a month ago about his fantasies, and he wants to report how it went after telling his wife.
Hey, Kenny. This is what I'm talking about.
Hi. Hi, Emily. My wife and I had good sex, but, you can always make sex better. So I went on a limb, and I bought her a vibrator for Christmas, and then I called in about a month ago and told you that I was writing down all these fantasies that I had.
Yes. Oh.
And I told my wife about it, and she asked to read the book.
Okay.
That I've been writing.
Okay.
And I come home from work the other day, and I see her, how I presented it and everything, and I'm like, oh my God, I know what to do from here now. And it was amazing.
Like she was set up.
I don't think any of this would have happened if I didn't listen to you.
Oh, Kenny, I'm so happy. That's amazing.
She
you
read
wrote
it.
Erotica.
The way,
you wrote
yeah,
her. I remember
I guess,
this.
Yeah,
it was the best thing ever. I was the one. Every man to be like, every person, human, write down your fan. It's so hot. If you're a writer, or you even if you're not, just.
Yeah, I wrote about 20 different things that I just had in my mind, and like I said, I come home from work and she's, I mean, it just played out verbatim, like everything that I.
You
got
to tell me what happened. Kenny, either you're going to have to read part of it right now, which I actually want to hear it if you have some on you. I do. I'm not kidding, Kenny. You can call back, pick a chapter. Or tell me what the scenario is if you don't mind. Because you keep saying she was like, was she like on the bed waiting for you? You know, what was the scenario that you knew that meant she's down for sex right now?
So I get home and I walk in and she's kind of like propped up in the corner of the couch on a sectional and everything. And she's wearing a black lace bra with black laced panties, and her hair's down, and it's over her chest, and it's kind of just covering her breast a little bit, and everything, and she's just got this seductive look in her eye, and there's the ambiance is there, the candles are going, there was music in the background, which kind of threw me off when I walked in the door,
right? Because she's never done this before.
And
how long have you guys been you guys been together? How long?
We've been together for going on 9 years, been married for six.
Okay. So you had written about like her sitting on the couch wearing black.
Wearing black lingerie and everything. So it started out on the couch. It started out with foreplay. Then sex started out on the couch. And then we moved from sex into the bedroom. And in this scene, I guess you would call it, I wrote about how she got her vibrator out. And then there was like mutual masturbation going on. And it was so hot. Oh, my God.
This is genius. This is the most genius way anyone's ever gotten their partner to use the vibrator. Because you made it hot. You wrote about it. And you had bought it for her 4 months ago. And she never took it out of the drawer. And keep going. This is good, you guys.
She studied this.
She studied it.
Like I said, Emily, she didn't miss a step that I wrote.
Wow. That's really hot.
Even after the mutual masturbation, she reaches under her pillow and grabs a pair of handcuffs.
Whoa, was that in the story too?
Yeah, that was all part of it and everything.
She did the whole thing. And wow, and it was hot for both of you.
She did everything that I read out. Yeah, it was amazing. And then afterwards, when we're just both completely exhausted, we actually talked about it.
Wow, about how great.
And she said, and about how great it was and that how much fun it was.
It was fun. It wasn't that hard, right? Like, right. It was fun. You guys got to play together again. You did something different than, you know, rolling, whatever was happening before this. Probably just.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely wasn't that. No. Before, it would, like, 98% of the time, I was always the one who had to initiate sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything. And I, you know, if that's the way it was going to be, then, you know, okay, I'm fine with that. But I told her, you know, it's okay for you to want to have sex with me.
Right.
You know, yes, we both want
she didn't know how to initiate it. So you gave her the plan. You gave her the tools. You, like, wrote it up a story. And she could have, and she was like, yeah, I actually agree. That's hot. I think a lot of us just, we all just want to know what to do. We all just want goddamn instructions. How do I initiate sex? What is a turn on? What feels good? How do I give good oral? Like, we just want an instruction manual. And essentially, you wrote out what felt good to you. And now I'm hoping, Kenny, like, she has permission now to figure out what her fantasies are. I mean, that maybe that was part of her fantasy, you know? Who knows? You guys probably talked about this.
Right. And I told her if there's stuff that, you know, if you have your fantasies and everything, you can, you know, we can swap this and turn this all around again.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a whole new world for you guys.
It is. And before you came on the air, there wasn't a lot of this, like, sex talk and everything. I was, to a degree, I was a little intimidated by my wife. They're like, well, what if she doesn't want sex tonight, but I really want sex and everything. I'm not going to force it on her because that's just rude.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of like, okay, do I do this? Do I not do this? And everything. I was too much in my head.
Yeah, exactly. That's our head is our worst. We all cock block ourselves, you know, essentially. We're in our heads.
Yeah.
We really do. We are all in our heads, Ken. You're so right. You're like, you want to be a good husband and you want to force it. So that's what was going on pre-sex with Emily when you started listening, right?
Yeah.
So you had been married and it was just kind of like you were nervous to come home and what's going to happen. And then it was good. You were having it once or twice a week or she wasn't initiating and.
Yeah.
Now look at you. Christian Grey. Kenny.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was.
50 Shades of Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. This is so inspiring. I hope everyone's inspired by this.
Yep.
Go write it down, share it, and she was cool. Yeah, thank you, Kenny. That was. Kenny's my hero. That was amazing. So, Kenny called in a month ago. And he's like, I don't know what to do. He started listening to the show in November. Never heard anyone talk about sex. He was in a relationship like you. Most of you were in a relationship. We're like, sex, it's good. We're doing it. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my partner. But it's okay. And then he started hearing me talk about it. And then he thought, well, I'll buy her a vibrator for Christmas. So he buys her, and I might butcher some of this, but he bought her a vibrator for Christmas. He did. And he calls in a month ago and he says, Emily, I don't know what to do. I bought her a vibrator. She's not using it. And, you know, I'm trying to spice it up. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to write it out. And he started writing fantasies, like erotica. And then I think at the point when he called, had he just given it to her? He wasn't sure what to do. I think he was asking, do I just give him to her? Or do
yeah.
I? And I said, well, I think you don't just land it. I don't think you just say, like, here you go. I didn't know it was a novel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just first open it up and say, you know what? I really want to talk about our sex life and make it, like, all the things I tell you all. Make it great. And I guess she probably said, yeah, I'd love to read what you wrote. And then she had some fuel. an ammunition. She had some instructions. She had some guidance. She knew how sex works, that in a way, this is why everyone loved 50 Shades of Grey, for example. Erotica is totally underrated, I think, and there's not enough of it. Because, and you could write your own, you guys. No one's caring about your spelling errors or your great write. No one cares. Like, you could speak it out into your phone. And but what I'm saying is that 50 Shades of Grey, it wasn't that it was amazing, you know, well-written book or novel masterpiece. It was that women were reading it on their own and they were hearing things and reading words about being, you know, many women have fantasies, the feminine fantasy to be submissive in the bedroom. Not that we want to be locked up and use handcuffs. Sometimes we do. We want to be spanked, but we want someone to be dominant over us. And so in that book that happened, you saw how it could all happen. It was very romantic and it was just accessible on, I think it was the first book, erotic on the iPad or whatever it was that you could hide it. But people got into it and it was words. Brain is the largest sex organ. And so when we're just coming home to our partners night after night and we're like trying to figure it out, you want our partner to initiate, we don't know what to do. A lot of times your partner's not initiating or they're holding back because we're in our heads and we're worried. So Kenny, he had to do all the initiating and he was worried that he had to do it wrong and still in his head anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of responsibility often on one partner over the other. The other one's just worried that they're not and one's worried that they're doing it wrong. We're all fucking in our heads. We are putting ourselves in this sex crisis dungeon.
Yeah, and I think the cool part about Kenny's situation is that he wrote it as kind of like about him and his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
So she was able to read it and literally put herself into that situation and like think about it from her own imagination. Because I think with some people who don't prefer watching porn is because they don't find the right kind of porn, and then it's hard for them to see the people and then put themselves in that place.
Yeah, that's thank you, Jamie. He was like, wear that black underwear and bra and put your hair in front of your breasts. And I picture coming walking in the door and you're sitting on our couch very specifically. And then we go up into the bedroom and there's handcuffs. Like it's, and it was her, their names in it. So she didn't have to think, worry that she wasn't blonde or she wasn't, you know, particularly skilled in some place. It was like about the two of them, which I think that fantasy, you guys, is so healthy. It's actually, people who have a healthy fantasy life have a healthy sex life. It gets they're intertwined. And so I think if you can, when I say to you, talk to your partner about your fantasies and you don't know, this would also be a great jumping off point with Kenny to say, maybe you write it with your partner together. Why don't you guys, if you guys are that kind of couple and you don't know, maybe together you figure out what the fantasy is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to come up
That'd
with ways to use that, to Kennyize it.
After the break, Michelle wants to know what to think about before she takes her husband to a strip club. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
All right. Should we take this email?
Yes. I've been wanting to read this.
Okay. So this is from Michelle, 50 in Wisconsin. Dear Emily, I'm happily married to my husband for almost 30 years and want to take him to a strip club where we'll both get lap dances. We've discussed this for a few years, so why not actually do it? I have gone before, but never had a lap dance, and I always end up feeling uncomfortable because there's not that many female spectators. I'm not into women, but I think it could still be a turn on. I feel bad for the women working there, etc. How can I get past that and just have fun?
Oh, okay. I like this question. Okay, Michelle. It sounds like you guys have a really great relationship, and I love that you've been talking about it and you want to do it together. I think that's great. Here's the thing. Go to a strip club. Think of it like an experience. Like, they're there to make money. They make money by getting lap dances. If you could just be as connected with your partner, your husband, as possible when you get there and just enjoy it and just not worry, because you're in your head, what are people going to think? And, you know, you're the spectators. No one there is looking at you going, look at that. Everyone at a strip club is there. Believe me, if they are looking at anything, it is not you getting a lap dance. They're looking at the women, they're looking at the dances. It is not about you. So that's one place where I think you could let yourself just get into this really fun new experience that you've never done in 30 years. These are the kind of things that can truly spice up a relationship. One thing like this, and then you guys could try something else. So the next time you have sex, you'll be talking about it in the bedroom. So, and I don't think it should feel bad for the women working there. I mean, these days, you know, a lot of strippers I know and dancers, it doesn't have the same like connotations as it used to. There's a lot of different reasons, but most people I know dance and they look back at those years when they were doing it as like fond years. They made the choices, they made good money, and then they get out of it or they're in it forever. And it's a beautiful way to express themselves. I think you can't know. You can't know and you can't bother yourself with. I think that this is probably one of the things that you probably do in your sex life overall. And you're probably, you're a pleaser, I'm sure. And you're like a very caring woman with an open heart and you're worried about everyone else around you, but your own pleasure. So you guys need to go to the strip club and relax, have a couple drinks, just get into your body with your husband and have fun with it. Wear that sexy thing that you haven't worn in a while that you've been kind of holding on to. You've been waiting for a night. You know, do you. Because let me tell you this. Couples who try new things together and play together. They say couples who play together stay together. And it's true. Because what I mean by that is like, you guys need the novelty to keep yourselves connected. And when you do something novel in a relationship, whether it's skydiving or going to a strip club or, you know, cooking together, that's all going to fire those same love hormones, chemicals, and the sex chemicals that are going to connect you, the bonding. And it's going to be thrilling, the dopamine. And so that's what you need. And this is kind of, I love that you're a little nervous about it, but let's just get you out of your head and into the moment that there's no risk. You're going for a night and then you're going to laugh at him. And what if you really like it? And then you go home and you guys can talk about it in bed and it becomes like your dirty talk. It becomes like, remember that time we went? And then maybe you'll go back. Or maybe you'll learn how to give him a lap dance. That's really hot to like learn. That's what I was doing in those strip dance. The Sheila Kelly, who does the dance workshops for women, they teach you how to, it's all women, but they teach you how to move and be in your body. It's native, like the S curve of your body and learning just how to walk and talk and feel sexy. And so that's what it's about, like being in your body and being in the moment. And it's hot to give your partner a strip tease. Give them a little lap dance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be perfect. Just they're going to appreciate the gesture and something different. This is another great thing to practice on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, give yourself a lap dance. Like, when you're at home and I'm telling you, look in the mirror and, like, be sexy and look at yourself. Like, how would you move? How would you dance?
Yeah, I don't think you should dry run.
Don't dry run, because then you'll get in your head and feel insecure about it.
Practice.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Take those notes, you know, just like little mental notes of what they're doing on stage or on the lap dance and be like, ooh, I liked what she did when she was moving that way. Let's see how it looks like.
Yeah.
Take it into the bedroom and do it.
She's getting the lap dance, kind of be like, oh, what's she doing here? That feels good. Because really a lot of it is a feeling thing and what to do in the moment. So I think the more into it you can be and the more turned on you are in the moment, the more your husband will be. And it's going to be an awesome night, Michelle. So let us know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
There in Wisconsin.
Let's talk to Rick in Ohio. Hi, Rick. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Not much. I just want to say that I definitely am attracted to both sexes, but I feel like I'm leaning more towards men. Is it possible to be, you know, bisexual?
Absolutely.
Sometimes?
Oh, bisexual is real. Yeah. I mean, you can be attracted to men, women, all genders, and sexuality is a spectrum. It's a spectrum.
I definitely have been with men, and I really enjoy being with men. But I mean, at the same time, I'm attracted to women, but I feel more comfortable sometimes too around men.
Yeah, I think that's totally, you know, fine. People think, I think what you're alluding to is that people think there's no such thing as being bisexual. But like, how could you tell a whole group of people that they don't exist? It's not a phase. It's not a thing. And I think that there's a lot of people who are bisexual and they just go through a lifetime of repressing it because they don't understand how you could be attracted to all genders. They might be attracted to trans people. They might to everyone. So yeah, Rick, has it been a problem for you, or you're just wondering about the labels here?
Well, no, it hasn't really been a problem. I mean, like, for instance, I've been with a guy now for, you know, a good 8 to 9 years, but at the same time too, if I'm watching something like Dancing with the Stars or if there's an attractive girl on a commercial I find attractive, you know, I mean, I'm not going to dance around and not look, but I mean, no, it hasn't been a problem. And I'm not really into labels or anything, but I think sometimes I feel like I, you know, catch myself doing a double glance at times with both genders.
That's great that you allow yourself to do that. You know, people just don't. And in fact, there's a lot of men who are attracted to men, and you probably know these guys, and they feel such shame around it that they end up becoming, you know, homophobic. They end up hating themselves, so then they hate others who are gay. So, you know,
I'm not like, I mean, I've...
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm saying you're a good example, Rick, of a man who's being totally honest with yourself, you know?
Even at home, like, I've got, you know, a Playgirl magazine, but yet I've got a Playboy magazine. I mean, I've got, you know, I enjoy looking at both from time to time.
Yeah. To me, I think that means that you are open and, you know, think about it. If everyone was paid attention to their bisexuality, or that they could be, that sex is a spectrum, just like gender isn't binary, you know, our biology. And so that's true that, you know, isn't either, that sex exist on the spectrum, but I think that, and that's what Kinsey talked about, is that sex is a spectrum, and a lot of us women are more likely to be on the, you know, four or fives when you think that one is straight. And so, but I think that now that we're giving people permission, we're giving people permission that they were more open. So, yeah. What'd you say, Rick?
Have women been a little bit more open about that over the years? Or are there more women that are more like that, or just?
I think that women are more openly, women tend to be more bisexual. We tend to hear about it more. They tend to act on it more. Because I believe there's less of a stigma. And you're seeing it more in culture, and it's just more accepted overall.
And
it's more visible, but men don't see this. Men don't see it as much, right? That you can be bisexual.
I think women have been that way for years, though, right?
I think that, men and women have always existed on spectrum sexually, but I think that there's more permission given to women, and there's more celebration of women being bisexual than men. But I think it's always been the case. But I think for many men, they just keep it down, and they're so afraid of the repercussions. And our society says that if you're bisexual, you're just gay. So that's not fair for men. Yes, you're absolutely right that the stigma is there for men and not for women.
I totally agree. I think maybe that might have been my original question. I just didn't know how to ask that.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Yeah, that's it. But I think that now we give people more permission. This is why, Rick, this is such a great, I love that you're calling in. But I think if you really give people permission to expand their minds and to think about it, that people could kind of go try something out, dabble in experiencing things sexually with the other gender, but I don't think it's as random as your gender.
Same gender.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And I experiment it, and I enjoy it, and I like it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad that you found that, and you're with a partner who's understanding, as we all should be.
Yes,
I want that for everybody.
My biggest thing is I love sucking penis. It's just great.
Yeah. Me too. But yeah, I've dabbled too with women, you know, but that's, you don't have to give it up. Here's the thing. If we could be more open about this thing, and we could be more open about what we're actually attracted to, and we didn't talk about like gender, and we just were attracted to what we were attracted to, you know, now we call it like pansexual, people who are more open to anything. They're just attracted to whatever they might be attracted to whoever, whatever gender. And I think that's the way to live. And I think that's where we're going now, Rick. I think that in society, much to much people's disappointment, many people won't be a popular statement. But I think that now that there's more permission and there's more information and there's more education around, you know, sexuality being a spectrum and about gender not being binary, our sexuality is not, you know, binary either. And so I think that just allowing people to see that it's okay, be attracted to what you want, who you want, and just be honest and be open about it, that it would give others permission. Just like you talking about this right now, Rick, I promise you, is giving some other people permission to feel better about their own choices sexually. Or maybe there's some people who have felt like they don't want to come out, and now by hearing this, they want to. They're thinking, okay, well, Rick's doing it. Rick's open.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.